Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
What are you going to tell me about God that I have not seen? What are you going to tell me? I've seen miracles. I've seen his face. You now come to me and say, and I decide on a blessed day that I no longer walk with the Lord. And then a brother come in and she say, sir, can I share the gospel with you? I just look at you like, who is this one? Do you know where I used to be a reverend? I'm talking about something that happened before. The man sat in front of his house. So I would like to share the gospel with you. The man laughed. There's nothing you want to tell me about that Bible that I don't know. Apparently, the young evangelist didn't know that the man he was trying to share the gospel with used to be a pastor. Who had turned back. You see, there's something about revelation. Revelation doesn't just give information. It crafts that knowing, that knowledge. It crafts it, you know, on your soul. You can't forget. You can't shake it off. It's just like when God says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that revelation hits you. There are some prayers you won't pray again. Are you still here? If they tell you that, they say you come somewhere, that you have a spiritual husband, you'll just be laughing. You know why? You can see the knowledge gap in the person that is talking. The problem is not what he said, but you actually expected that guy to know better. And he has finally displayed it. I'm not saying there are no spirituals, but I'm saying that know your level. So the pastor was laughing. At the end of the day, he said to the... See the way I'm smiling at you people. The reason why Thomas didn't know the way was not because he wasn't close to Jesus, because he was busy doing other things. So when they wanted to hand over to him, he said, I don't know. Show us the way. Don't be distracted. The pastor said to that young boy, he said, I used to be a reverend. But now I'm not interested in anything that has to do with Jesus Christ. So what do you want to tell him? A man that has organized services, a man that has joined people in marriage, child dedication. What is it that makes a man who has come so close all of a sudden say, I don't want to be associated with Jesus? You need more than information. You need revelation. And one of the marks of revelation is that it will engrave a seal upon you as a mark in the realm of spirit. When they see you, they will know you have passed that level. And please, for clarification, revelation does not mean eye-sounding nonsense. Revelation does not mean, because some of us are looking for crafty things. The revelation always bears its fruit in the life of the person who carries it. Do you know that Paul at some point would say that when I came to you, you did not consider my weakness and my infirmity, but you received me as an angel? That means there was something about Paul's life. And church historians say maybe he had a particular ailment. Some people said, because in that scripture he said, if it were possible, you would have given me your own eyes. Church historians suggest that Paul had possible eye defect because of that statement. We are not sure. But do you understand what I'm saying? But when he came, they didn't say, preacher, heal yourself. They received the words he spoke. Huh? Do you know that many people who operate in the healing ministry usually suffer from the things that they pray for people about? People who don't have children, and yet they pray for people and they get children. So please, you have to be very cautious and understand this revelation thing. The just shall live by faith. If there's anything that I'm unable to lay a hold on, the first thing I need to ask is, what is the faith requirement for this thing? And what do I have? As basic and foundational as the resurrection of Jesus Christ is, I hope you know it is the major pillar upon which the Christian faith rests on. If you can disprove the resurrection of Jesus, every other thing is a lie. Come on, are you with me? Are you with me? You guys are quiet though, because I'm not prophesying. The truth of the matter is, an average believer today cannot justify and prove the resurrection of Christ. We only believe it because they said to us. So if it means if you are also born into a Muslim family, that's how you would have believed the way you are believing. That your current state of faith has nothing to do with revelation. It only has to do with the environment you found yourself over time. I don't know if somebody is still hearing me now. Let's read some scriptures. Genesis chapter 2. This matter of redemption or resurrection. Okay. Let's start with 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Quickly. I want you to look at this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Is what? Foolishness. It means when people look at, when they see you say, he died for you, he wants to set you free, they look at you and say, after all the book you read, do you understand? After all the book you read, you put your hope on a criminal. He said, but unto us that are saved, the preaching of the cross is what? The power of what? Of God. Look. Stay with me. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. This is God speaking here, saying that when I decide to move in the direction of my plan concerning man's freedom, every law of nature and wisdom will be broken. Such that except you are simple at heart, you will not be able to see it. And that's why for many of us, when we, in those days when we used to come out after they preached to us in our revival, SU revival, and we'll cry. We never gave our life to Christ. The day we just came and said, I'm tired of praying. Save me. Bam. Without asking for forgiveness of sins. Do you understand that the reason why we are not on the streets winning souls today? It's because we don't understand this scripture. That when you shout and say, come for evangelism, and people don't come, they only demonstrated their lack of understanding of what resurrection means. If truly this is good news, why are we not sharing it? Why are we only comfortable having meetings amongst us Christians? Are you still here? Come on, are you still here? Why are we comfortable having very powerful world conferences and it's just us Christians? You put so much time in that, nobody's on the street. The rework is there. The proof of understanding is not that you said you understood, it's what you did with it. Give me Genesis chapter 2. I believe maybe from verse 15. Quickly. Genesis 2. Because, look at it. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. For what purpose? For what purpose? To dress, keep it, be the manager. Next verse. And the Lord commanded, excuse me, does the scripture say the Lord suggested? The Lord was sharing ideas. Is that what he said? The Lord was giving him tips. You know, I want to give you tips, business tips. This conference is about business tips. How you can move your business from the kitchen, from the garage to Apple headquarters. When you have that one, people will come. Because the vanity of people's heart. The Lord commanded the man, excuse me, he spoke to the woman. Kenny, you are not seeing that scripture. The Lord commanded the man, saying, he spoke to his wife. The wife is in that picture, but you are not seeing it. Because as at this picture, Eve had not been created. So it is another way of looking at it is when the scripture says, Levi paid tithes while still in the loins of Abraham. That is why they don't pay tithes in Levi. The Levitical priesthood. It's not that they like enjoying. They paid it. Their father paid for them. It was the next child to come when they paid that tithe. So God just counted that everybody there has paid. I like that one. Let my father do the work. And may I just come and enjoy. Look what the scripture said. He said, he commanded the man and said, of every tree of this garden, you may what? That means we've paid. So you can freely what? You people are not answering me. Yeah, it's not that volume. It's the fact that you need to be following me. Because this is why I am still doing remedial program for some of you. And I want to free you completely. Next verse. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now God does not like adulteration. There is a particular tree that bears two types of fruit. Now, why would God, have you ever asked yourself why God will allow that tree to even be in the garden in the first place? Have you ever wondered about it? So, why are you tempting me? Eh? Like somebody said, see, but don't touch. Taste, but don't swallow. Feel, but don't hug. What you late? my chief security officer say, I will see, must chop. Eh? If I catch you when customer is giving you, have a nice day. Okay, you can't hide it. So that the secret can be safe, share it now. If not, everybody will yell. We will now take the 500 as 50-50 naira. But if it's just two of us, 250-250. So, you will know, Rodada. Think and well. Now, as at this time, God is a just God. On earth, or in the universe, Satan had already rebelled against God. And in order for, there's something in statistics we call, I believe I'm getting intervening variables. Huh? Those are variables in a particular research that can affect the result of that research, and they will give you a result, but the result will not be accurate. So before you start the research, you have to identify those factors that can interfere with the research, then extrapolate. You separate them before you start the research. What God did here was to identify those intervening variables, those things that were already on earth, in the universe, playing a role as a result of Satan's rebellion. Factorize it. Hey. Make provision for them. So that man would not come and be wondering, but you didn't tell me there was a Satan. Hey. In everything God said to Adam from chapter 1 and verse 26, let them have dominion. Did he talk about Lucifer? So what God did here was to factorize. He made provision for that representation. And the scripture says every evening God used to come to our fellowship. So excuse me, what do you think they were doing in that fellowship? They were teaching Adam. Fellowship is teaching time. Not falling under the anointing time. Teaching time. Are you with me? Come on, are you still with me? I'm going somewhere. If I don't get there, I continue. And the Lord used to come in the cool of the evening to have fellowship with man. That cool of the evening was fellowship time. So those were the period that that matter would have been addressed. The reason why we have this kind of tree in the garden is because of something that happened way back. Do you know that up till when they finally disobeyed God, that question was not answered. It was Moses that later came to address that knowledge. Please stay with me. So God is saying that there is a particular tree, there's a particular knowledge, the knowledge by which man has risen today and prospered, the knowledge by which Dubai is the way it is today, the knowledge by which the United Kingdom is the way today is from the knowledge of what, the tree of what? So don't say, they don't go to church in Dubai. They are prospering. This is what is producing it. And the reason why Nigeria is the way it is also this tree. We didn't eat the good part. We turned the other side of the apple and ate the rotten part. So you have it. You know, if you are rich, you can go for this thing abroad. If you are not rich, you die. So because sometimes, have you noticed that for a seduction or a temptation to be effective, it must have an element of pleasure and goodness? Are you with me? The reason why a temptation is potent is because it has an element of pleasure. I can quickly do it, nobody will know. You understand? So when you have that thing at the back of your mind, it is, you know the thing is evil, but it presents to you an element of what? Of good. So because of the good, you now eat the good and the evil. But the thing will not digest. It will not digest. Now, look at this. For the day that you shall eat, what day was God talking about? God didn't make provision for... Hello? Who created death? It wasn't Satan. The first person who ever spoke about death in scripture was God. You can decide if you want to have fellowship with the works of darkness or if you want to benefit from life. The first person who spoke about death was God. He said, the day that you eat of this kind of knowledge, the day you have fellowship, the day you begin to have fellowship, you know, it's only God that knows who will be born again, you. It's only God that knows who will get to heaven, you. If you want to marry, just marry, you. Good and evil. People come to you and they tell you, like somebody was telling me, I don't know where I got it wrong. Just married for 1 year. She wants a divorce. I don't know where I got it wrong. We met during my NYSC. That is not the whole story. But there's problem now. So you have to tell the pastor the side that favors you. Kaganeko? You have to tell me what so that I can be praying. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. And I refuse to pray. It's full disclosure. You met yourself somewhere now. You were in the other club that day. And you people were having fun and enjoying yourself. And I joined you in marriage. And now you people want to break yourself head. And you are coming and say, Pastor, I don't know where I got you. I will tell you where you got it wrong. Next verse. People will not tell you. They'll not be trying pastor's anointing. It was after God gave Adam the matching others on how to relate to this particular kind of knowledge that you spoke about a woman. So who is the responsible officer? Come and talk to me. Please don't negotiate who you marry out of sentiment. If the man doesn't have matching orders, I beg, pack away. Listen to me. We all know the story. They disobeyed God. God kicked them out of the garden. And for whatever it is worth, that garden today, nobody knows where it is. Probably it's not on earth anymore. Do you know that beside that tree was another tree that was called the tree of life? Are you aware? You know, I told you that there's no guava and mango in that garden. Which means that the garden was a middle point where heaven and earth converged. Where you could be in the midst of the garden and have fellowship with divinity and also have interaction with humanity. And yet you will be more divine than human. Adam was a special kind of class, a class of being. What you call human today is the fallen man. So when Jesus came to the world, he didn't come to restore us back to what Adam was. He didn't do a refurbished work. It wasn't to make us a better person. You know, there's a place for character, but he didn't come to fix our character. He came to change the software. And I read to us in Luke chapter 3 and the last verse. Give me Luke chapter 3. I think Luke chapter 3 and the last verse. Let me tell you how God referred to his own son, Adam. Luke chapter 3 and the last verse. I think it should be 38 or... And that which was the son of Enoch was also the son of, was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, and Adam was what? Do you see how Adam, the knowledge Adam lacked of himself, that made him throw away his birthright? He said, for if you eat this fruit, you shall be as God. What Satan failed to tell them was that he was already God. The devil just inverted the prophecy and presented it to him. But just because you have not reached full potential of your grace, of your giftings, doesn't mean that you are not who you are. Don't let the devil sell you short. Now, can I say to you that the cross is heaven's provision and heaven's strategy for man's freedom? It is not living a good life, praying 5 times a day, praying 3 times a day, coming to the world first as an ant, then coming back as a human being, then coming back in your next life as a cow, and then reincarnating as a bird or as a fly. Till one day, some universe seems happy with you, then you vanish into nothingness. That's Buddhism or Hinduism. So when they ask us to meet and as world religions, and I'm there, say we are all one, we preach love. Before we go to love, let's talk about what we believe. There are 3 things. One is what? Faith. Then hope. The last one is what? So let's start from number 1. Don't jump to 3. Faith. What do you believe? What do I believe? I didn't say you change your religion. You are the one going to hell. I just say let's talk about what we believe. Because in the days that are upon us, they will bring those conversations again and put us in front of the camera, and we stand like this, all of us, to take picture on television, and then we say, yes, all of us religious leaders, we are here to just discuss on interreligious harmony. We talk. But please, don't force me to say we are serving the same God. We already, all of us even know we are not serving the same God. We are only doing it for the cameras. A day will come, and that day is almost here. They will put you under pressure. The moment you, by any chance, say we are serving the same God, it doesn't matter whatever religion is, you have denied the cross. It's a temptation. If Satan ever told Eve that just that conversation was tantamount to rebellion. In the scriptures, the word sin is actually translated rebellion. It's not an action, it's a state. If Jesus was saying what people loved, nobody would kill him. Do you realize that by the time they were going to kill him, they made sure all the people he raised from dead were not there? All the people he healed, they didn't come to church that day. They only ganged up and brought the people who hated him, so that they can say, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. Imagine all the people that Jesus fed 5,000. And all the people, if they allowed them to come to church and they said, we want to kill this man. They tried many times, they could not do it because they feared the people. They waited and selected their sample population. They selected them. These are the people that can do this job. Don't be deceived. There is an arrow being pointed at the body of Christ to ammonize and weaken our doctrine because of modernization. That is why it is important for you not only to understand what Jesus did, but to fully master it. It's for your own personal good, so that you will not be tossed to and fro with every wind of strange and familiar and fantastic doctrine. An average believer today can fall under the anointing, but they cannot tell you what it is that Jesus did. So we have a lot of uneducated illiterates. Salvation, are you with me? Salvation, Jesus dying on that cross, and please go and read. I wish sincerely we could just take the four different aspects, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and read the crucifixion and see the way it was interpreted on four sides. Do you know why this message of the cross is offensive? Because it demands 100% commitment. Do you know why the message of the cross is very offensive? It does not allow you to be a regular person. The moment you embrace it, you will do things you never thought you could do for God. There was a day, so a few years ago, I was a Sunday school teacher in church. And I was supposed to take Sunday school. In those days in my church, we do Sunday school Sunday morning. And I woke up late. You know the kind of late when you are on the bed, then your eye just pop, and everywhere is bright. You know, I don't know if it has ever happened to you before. You see the realization of what is going on. Then if I enter third Milan now, oh boy, I'm done for. No. Yeah. You can imagine. You know, if you attend some of the churches some of us attended, you can't be sleeping on your bed by 6 a.m. on Sunday. Because you have to be in church. There's workers with you. And we didn't complain. Now there's technology, there's internet, everybody's asking, but why do we really have to, you know? A research was done in Nigeria, in this Lagos. Please hear me. Because we cannot continue to encourage riotous living, raising vagabonds and calling them members. The pastor is the chief performer on the stage, and the church members are the spectators who are clapping. Ooh, wow, ego. That is what we are doing. The shouting side is the winning side. I said before one man recently came to the UK, Chelsea was winning. After he landed for treatment, Chelsea lost a match. I don't know. Google is your friend. Where was I? Huh? A research was done in Lagos. Are you with me? Can I be honest with you? Because all of us, if you are not born again, lift your hands. Let me lead you to Christ now, because I got to move fast. They went to churches that held one-hour services. Uncle Tio. One-hour services, max 1 hour 15 services. They are there in Ikeja and VI and Maryland. They are here on this street, in this building, on the first floor. They are there. This first floor of this building, they are there. They are meeting now. And they did a survey about timeliness in church services and asked a series of questions. And the respondents said, in our church, pastor cannot exceed that 1 hour. People walk out. People are angry when pastor is preaching and the Holy Spirit is about to move and he says because of time. Because pastor must, because we have second service. Then they took the research to some of these other churches that don't use wall clock. Come on now. There are some churches, they don't even send you there. If you look at the old building, you will not see one wall clock. Before you say, what's the time? They will say, you will take this prayer now. You will take this prayer now. You pray it with holy anger. With holy anger. If your neighbor is not praying, move away from your neighbor. I permit you to move away from your neighbor. And why? They have not given the prayer point. They are already doing like this. They are, oh, yeah, give it to me. My father, my God. Oh! They took the research to those places. And then they made a shocking discovery. Many of those in my church that do 1 hour service and complain, they saw them sitting inside those churches for second service there. How did they know? They saw the stickers, Harvest Order Assembly, on their cars. And they got into those churches. Those churches didn't have AC. Meanwhile, in the survey that was carried in the last church, there's a way we want our church to be. The toilets must be clean. Air fresheners, AC must be working. We need a backup gen. And pastor, we need to approve a budget for a third gen in case the backup gen messes up. All those things are the things that are important to us. But when they went to where they are, the matter of their destiny was to be discussed. Everybody took his handkerchief. Because they know in this church, we don't do AC. We are here to deal with all the problems in your life. There you are permitted to sing any song without due regard to the founder of the church. You can get there. Yes, I hear. Onishegun, Onishegun, ni baba. Onishegun, Onishegun, ni ama. Onishegun, ni emi mi ma. Onishegun, ni beta loko. You wawa got rabbi. That song means that God the Father is the God of victory. God the Son is the God of victory. God the Holy Spirit is the God of victory. So it's a gyrating song. When we sing it with fire. Sing it with fire. There's a way you sing that song. The pastor will stop you and say you are not singing it well. So you are going to sing that song again. In that church, we can take one prayer point 3 times because pastor doesn't like the way we are praying. And they saw all my brethren in Maryland, Harvest World. They saw them there and all those places, Ikeja and VI. They saw them and they sat down quietly. Nobody complained. Nobody complained. Then the researcher asked, why? Then they asked the respondents, sir, I noticed that you have this sticker on your car. That means you only came visit. Say, yes, I come from time to time for quarterly deliverance or but you have this other one that doesn't believe in that. Hey, you know, pastors are gifted differently. Anytime we are coming to this other church, we already make up our mind. It is when they close that we'll go. He said, what about your other church? No, there's a standard, though. In my own church, there's a standard, though, and the pastor must not break it. Do you see when I now tell you that the authentic message of the cross is offensive? That for anybody who really wants to embrace the cross, you must turn your back on every other thing. Because when God plans to fix you, he doesn't look at the wall clock. But you have chosen teachers for yourself. You have chosen things and modernized it and call it Christianity. And God is saying, he said the glory has departed here. Because now everything is being regulated by man and how one person feels or how a board of directors feel. Everything is being regulated. So why did you now decide to go to this other place when your enemies came to your doorstep? In this church, you will see professors. You will see emeritus professors. And everybody's praying. Nobody's looking at anybody. But when it comes to my own place, don't know why that sister, anytime she sings, she doesn't sing the... Because you the Owambe spirit is still there. Wow. You've been in church for 10 years. The cross has not gotten there. Wow. You didn't realize that the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the Son of Man might become the Son of God. And as long as God has not achieved that, when he looks at you and then says, my sacrifice was justified, that he has not achieved anything. Our Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the day of the Son of Man. Implication. You know, in March 2000, last year, 20, when the COVID kicked off, world economy shut down. Huh? U.S. oil crashed to $0 per barrel. Huh? Channels television reported it. CNN reported it. BBC reported it. Al Jazeera reported it. And then we were waiting for sport news, latest. Then when we didn't see, we moved to Netflix. Because it didn't make sense. USA is, how does it affect me? I'm in Nigeria. But for those who are into stock and the forex market, there is something they call, why should traders care about this news? Do you understand what I'm saying? What, this thing about US, you know, when you say something is $0, what it means is that come and carry free. Eh? Come and take it free. We are not selling. There's nobody to buy. The whole world is on lockdown. And then somebody rose up, went to 99.3 FM and said, everybody go and buy US dollar. Go and buy US oil. I mean, when I read news, I don't understand the pepper, water, where this one drink, where they talk. US oil. It's not like you are watching channel television. You are seeing NASDAQ, New York Stock Exchange. Does it? Have you ever wondered how it concerns you? Give me the latest on Chelsea Arsenal. I don't know. 2.5 weeks later, now, US oil rose back 3,000%. How many percent? If you had invested 100,000 naira. Now, give me 3,000% quickly of 100,000. God, hey, in my bank, my retirement, you are better me for me. You are better me for me. You will collect all my inheritance. All my inheritance that they hang in the tree in my village. You will collect it for me. Hello, wait, before we pray, give me that one. You should be having something like 30 million there. 30 million for knowing what to do with an information. My brother, last year in this Lagos, I know people who are not shouting palliative because of knowing what to do with that information. US oil crashed to $0 per barrel. Just by knowing what to do. Just by showing mastery. By understanding the implication of when they say he died and we died with him, and when he rose, we rose with him. By understanding the implication. Somebody moved from 5,000 naira in his account, and I know the person I'm talking about, to 30 million and 5,000. And the bank manager answered, man, said, please, I would like to meet you. We would like to meet you. Your account, you need to give us ID card. Do you know what that means? A young boy from 5,000 naira in his account to 30 million and 5,000. Huh? 2.5 weeks. I'm a senior manager in the bank. When I go, they are going to pay me 40 million. Oga, hear this one. This one is not promotion, no. This one is that the God of Mammon has decided to favor you. Many of us, we read this thing. We don't understand the implication. Do you understand that when you came to Christ, Christ didn't elevate you into any status lower than himself? You don't get it. If you do, you will actually shout. Because what that means is that the seat of our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of his Father is our seat. That's why Paul can say we are seated together with him. Where? In heavenly places, not heaven. Hello? In heavenly places. When God created the heavens, there, where was he? For God to create the heavens, he needed to be outside it to create it. And even today, he says that thing you call the heaven that you want to go and collect mansion is... So where is he? Above the heavens. We must begin to pay attention to implications. When you pray from understanding. So that we are not doing the same deliverance every day. When I gave my life to Christ, one of the things that Brother Humphrey and Brother Lawrence told me was that henceforth, you have power over witches. Hey, I was a young boy. They said to me, you have power over witches, you have power over demons, and they read Luke chapter 10 verse 19 to me. And behold, he gave them power over snakes and scorpions, and over all, that was the first scripture I was made to memorize. By an SS1 student. An SS1 student sat me down and told me that now that you have received Jesus, today you have power over demons. You have power over Satan. You have power over wicked forces. All you have to do is recognize it, because spiritual things don't operate without recognition. Paul said to his son Timothy, he said, you must acknowledge the gift of God that is in you. That means if I don't acknowledge it, I can't trigger it. Let them pour the old oil on your head. Let them pour the whole, go to Jerusalem and fresh the it won't change nothing. There must be a divine recognition of who you are, so that when they ask you, when you say to the girl, lift up your head and say, who are you? You will introduce yourself. Do you know why Jesus never answered the questions of the Pharisees when they say, tell us if you are the one? Because they don't even know what to do with that information. They don't know what to do with it. They are only looking for something to use against him. And he kept that matter from them. But there was a man, Joseph of Arimathea. He followed through, even though he was a secret disciple. And listen to me. Secret disciple does not mean he's hiding. Secret disciple means that there are some people God will put in places of influence. They don't make noise, but they move things. No disciple could come out there and say, we are the disciple of Jesus. Give us his body. It is people like Joseph that will come out. I need his body. It takes a level of political influence to have that kind of like, Herod, he's dead. Give me his body. Give me his body. And they approved it without going to House of Assembly, without going to court. Say, I don't know all these people that don't preach about money. Nobody preach about righteousness. See your neck, the way it is long, like Angulu. You are still talking about this, your holiness. Who told you can be holy without being prosperous? You don't know that for a poor man to make heaven is very hard. I have nothing in this world. My heaven is my. If God was living his life the way you are living, there would be no heaven to go to. I'm not talking about those of you with greed in your heart. I'm just telling you that the way of the sinner is hard. And the way of the sinner and the way of a poor man, they are not very different. Wake up in the morning and have pressing financial concerns in front of you. And then you look at your phone contact and you can't even see three people to call that can give you 100,000 without coughing and sneezing. Then you will know that poverty is a bastard. When you start arguing in your house, because they say, okay, our son needs to go to this school. This one is 2.6 million. That one is 2.4. But there's one other one is cheap. It's 1.8. And you start shouting, what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this? I don't know. You just like making me angry. Hey, Uncle T understands. Because the people are here now. The people I'm talking about, they are here. Say, this one is very good. It's 2.6. How much did I spend when I went to school? From nursery to university. Even till now, I've not spent 2.4. I should go and steal. I should go and do a bunkering. But, my brethren, there are some people who are looking for where to spend their money. They say, fuel is torn out. They just heard it. It didn't really occur to them. They say, okay, So we are going to fight. We are going to protest. 1 million man march. Oh God, tell us you want to contest for next election. Just tell us. What am I saying to you? Today is Easter. But we didn't need to wait for a day like this to talk about the cross. Do you know what that scripture says? He said, for I am not ashamed, I think Romans chapter 1, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, because everywhere it is spoken, it is the power of God unto salvation. Do you know what that means? That the power of the gospel is released wherever it is proclaimed. And every time you keep your sealed lips, you restrain the power of the gospel from going forth. And that if you know this, you will not let anybody force you to ask somebody on the street, do you know Jesus? He said, do you know the one I know? There is a knowledge that we are feeding on as a church that is making us crave for earthly things and making us spiritually useless. That knowledge is the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge that rationalizes the benefit in a concept and looks away from the result, the final outcome, which is to take a man away from the purpose of God. The first man, Adam, and please don't tell me Adam was a fool, didn't pass that test. And yet God said the first Adam was a living soul and the last Adam was what? A life-giving spirit. So when you come to an Adam, the first Adam, you get his wisdom. But when you come to the second Adam, he imparts his life. The ability to communicate at his level of thought. It is on that strength I say to you this morning that you are dead and your life is what? Is hid in Christ. Which means that what God expects from you, Ada, is that the way you went to university for 4 years and learned how to prosper in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the way God wants us to register in the school of the spirit so that we can learn how our new life operates. Everything Jesus did on earth was a wonder to many people. And even now, many of us think it's because he was the Son of God. And yet he said, as he is in this world, so are we. You see, and I give you another foundation to that. That the things of the spirit cannot be mastered overnight. Jesus, if you count from age 12 to age 30, how many years? 18 years. Huh? 18 years. Let's assume he started his training at 12. Look at the amount of time that his father allocated, giving him opportunity to master certain things. So when he came out and he said, do you want to be made old? It's because he had mastered it and tested it. Jesus never came hoping whether the miracle will happen. He gave him time to train. He had become proficient in the world. That anytime he opened his mouth and spoke, it was only those who were dull of hearing that never understood him. The guy on the street understood him. When he went to and said, a sower went out to sow, everybody was a farmer understood him. When he came to the village and said, there was a woman with a coin that got missing, and she lit a candle and began to say, those who were in the financial world understood him. The people who always had issues with him were regular church people. That's why when he saw a man who was a scribe and he said, who is my neighbor? And the man said, the man answered the question. Jesus didn't even praise him. He said, you are not far from the kingdom. When Jesus saw a religious man who came close, Jesus was surprised. He was surprised. He now said, you are not far. Which means if you continue like this, if you start following all these people and you follow me, I'm on the street too. I'm on the street. So much power, but it's not in isolation. The flow of power was tied to his assignment. So we have people now who still think God is that concept of Babalawo that you only show up to when you have a problem. And then God says, I refuse to be Babalawo henceforth. If you cannot seek me, you will die in your sins. As we go into the new week, let it not be Easter simply because it is April. Let it be Easter because the Son of God lives continuously in your heart. And the way you will know that you have gotten that revelation is that something happens to your heart. It changes the way you worship. It changes the way you worship because it's no more our God. He is my God. There's a personality tone to it. He said, when you pray, say, our Father. But that was because he was teaching them. But when he was going to pray to God, his Father, at the tomb of Lazarus, he spoke directly to his Father. Listen to me. If Jesus came all that distance and fulfilled the purpose of God, I don't think this is what he was paying for when he came all that distance. And I don't think that when he said to Peter, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. I don't think that what we are seeing today, the adulteration, is what he paid for. How can we fix it? If Inkem can stand up and say, based on what has been done legally, I am no more under a curse. I have been set free. I am a child of light. Then I now give myself to knowledge. As it relates to what is documented, then my freedom starts. I will come back and explain to you, not just the legal aspect, but the operational aspect of redemption. Because that is where the aspect of deliverance comes in. Not in the legal aspect, in the operational aspect. But I will leave that till another time. Let's rise on our feet. Elo ni mo san, Faba Ogo.